Well, here I am. So, Pastor on Tuesday said, do either one of you want to preach this week? Still have a few things to do to get ready for the homosexuality in the Bible class. And I had a conversation with Karina probably a week or two before that. And I'm like, oh, it must be time to about get up and talk again or preach or whatever you want to call it. And so she turned to me and she said, I guess you're talking. And I was like, okay. So Pastor's like, what are you going to talk on? And I said, well, we've been doing a little bit of a study on Wednesday nights about prayer, being in the war room and praying. It's not the war room that Penny and Summer had you guys watch, but it's another one. And we've been working on that. And I said, well, I can talk on that. And then I'm like, well, we're a little over a year into our words. How many people are still using their words? Are you seeing it every day? Are you taking care of, are you choosing the right things? That's Pastor's word. Mine's commitment, and I'm still committed to my job, the one I'm doing. I was like, okay, I can talk on that. I went to bed that night and got up the next morning, and the word joy came to my mind. Okay, it's not my mind. It's my mind, but it's not the word I would have chose. So I'm going to talk about joy today. In the middle of the chaos going around our world, as Gary talked about, there's so much chaos and there's so much hate and there's so much death. How do you find joy in that? How do you find that? How many people have Bibles sitting next to them? Good job. So when I looked up joy on Bible Gateway, under the New Living Translation, I found 333 hits for joy. We know that not all of it is, the Lord was talking about joy, but talking about sometimes taking away joy. And then I came in on Friday, was it Wednesday or Friday? Must have been Friday. Was talking to Pastor, and I found this book, The 4-8 Principle. And right here it says, The Secret to a Joy-Filled Life. And I was like, oh, I need this book. Fortunately, I didn't get all the way through it. However, there's so many good nuggets in it. I was like, yay, we can talk about that. I looked up the Bible Dictionary definition of joy as a positive attitude or a pleasant emotion, delight. Joy rises above circumstances and focuses on the character of God. God's acts are the cause of rejoicing. The joy required of the righteous people is in Philippians 4:4, is produced by the Spirit of God in Galatians 5:22. This kind of joy looks beyond the present to the future, our future salvation, which is Romans 5:2. And to our sovereign God, who works out all things for our ultimate good, which is Christ's likeness, which is Romans 8:28 through 30. This kind of joy is distinct from mere happiness. Joy like this is possible when we are in the midst of sorrow. There's a lot of people in the midst of sorrow right now. 2 Corinthians 6:10 and 7:4 is that reference. We can find joy in the middle of all that. How do we do that, though? This book talks about thinking. What are you thinking about? What are you doing about thinking about? Do you get up every day and say, I am like Christ? I am like God? Or do you get up every day and say, I'm not worthy. I'm a piece of crap. I am stupid. I am dumb. In your bulletin, there's a finding joy producing thoughts. We can come up with all the kind of negative words that we can think of about ourselves and about others. But if we're really thinking about joy and the joy of the Lord, first that came to my mind, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay? If he is really my strength, I'm not going to cut myself down or I'm not going to cut others down. I'm going to speak words of life to people. So there's 40 in here. The first one is, I expect the best and it shows. So when you get up every day, you should repeat, I expect the best and I'm going to show that I am the best in Christ. I trust God, my faith is strong. I am responsible. Oh, do I have to be responsible today? Yes, you have to be responsible. That's what you should be saying. I am responsible. What am I responsible for? What I'm thinking, what I'm saying, what I'm doing. You are responsible for that. If you have God's mind, you're going to get through the day with no problem because you have the mind of Christ. You're using God's joy. Even in the worst of times, you're using God's joy. Because that's what he wants. I take deliberate action to reach my goals. How many people have goals in life? How many people have almost reached those goals? How many people have given up on those goals? Why? What are you thinking? That you'll never get there. So we need to change our thinking to say, I will get there through my trust and faith in God. I now accept the best that life has to offer. Do we accept the best that life has to offer? Not yet, but we're getting there, right? I'm a new creature through Christ. There you go. That should be on everybody's mirror, in everybody's computer, in everybody's... You're a new creature in Christ. When you became a believer, you are a new creature in Christ. All the past should be in the past. We shouldn't be thinking about the past. The past is history. We should be thinking about the future, not even the present, because if we're thinking about the future, we're accomplishing the goals that God wants us to accomplish. My metabolism works effectively. I'm working on that. I stay lean as I age. I believe in the most perfect outcome of every challenge in my life. Do we think that, or do we think we'll never make it? Honestly, do we think we'll ever make it? Or do we pull up the scriptures and read about joy and say, okay, the joy of the Lord is my strength? Do we read about it when all the tribulation and the crap that's going on around us and around the people that we hang out with and the people that have problems all the time? How do we encourage those people? We can't encourage somebody if we're not encouraged. And we can't encourage ourselves if we don't open our Bibles and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Amen. I'll figure out how many people in life just want it given to them. I do. I want to work hard. God said work smarter, not harder. Work smarter, not harder. But we need to earn it. I am healthy and strong. I have boundless energy. Amen. How many times do I wake up and say, I'm tired today? Unfortunately, Karina hears it almost every day. I shouldn't say that. I should say, I have a ton of energy today, and I'm going to accomplish a whole bunch of stuff. Not working harder, but working smarter. I surround myself with winners. Yeah. Everyone in here is a winner. Everybody that you can hang out with is a winner if they know that they're talking words of life, not death to themselves. I experience abundance now and forever. Amen. There you go. I experience abundance now and forever. None of us are poor. Nope. None of us are poor. Nope. God has great plans for me.
Amen.
God has great plans for me.
Yes.
Jeremiah 29:11, to prosper and not harm me. Do we believe that?
Yes.
Okay, what's that plan then? What's your plan? God has a plan for me. Have you talked to God about the plan he has for you? I'm only hearing one yes in the place. I've been listening. we've started taking this class Doug Addison's doing, and it's about learning to hear God's voice. I'm still learning to hear God's voice. I heard God's voice tell me we're talking about joy today. I'm learning to hear God's voice. So he has a plan for each of us. What is that plan? I don't know. I haven't asked God yet. Well, guess what you get to do this week? Ask God what the plan is that he has for your life.
Amen.
And don't think that I'm not going to ask you next time I see you what the plan God has for your life. I'm grateful for my unshakable faith. Everything I need, I already have. My brain works perfectly.
Amen.
With God, my future keeps getting better. My memory is crisp and vivid. I change what I need to change. I let go and let God.
Amen.
That was one of Sean's favorite things to say. Let go and let God. Don't take the ooh. Leave it at the cross. I'm making progress. I control my thoughts. That should be everybody's job, is to control their thoughts. I'm transformed by renewing my mind. I pray for others. I wanted to talk about prayer today. I love to pray. I think if we're praying for people all the time, like Gary says, and our nation and our leaders and each other, there wouldn't be so much hate in the world.
Amen.
Because they don't have time to think about bad things because they're thinking about God and God's telling them what to think. And we're not, it's not this chaotic circle. This is the circle of life, and God loves us, and God wants us to prosper, and God wants us to be joyful, and God wants us to walk in joy, even in the midst of the crap that is going on. We're not always going to have the best things because Satan's around, but he doesn't have to have control of our lives. He doesn't have to, if we're thinking good things, then we don't have to worry about it because he has no, we know who wins.
Amen.
We know who wins. Who wins? God. God wins. But why do we let ourselves think, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm never going to get what I want. Because that little, you know, it's like the devil's on one side and the angel's on the other. And who's winning today? Flick the devil off the side of your, or the devil angel off the side of your shoulder and don't let him back up there. I am transformed by renewing my mind. I pray for others. With Christ, I am unstoppable. In the book, it talks about fear. What are we thinking? I fear that I'm not going to accomplish something. I'm afraid to talk to somebody about Christ because I don't want them to think something of me. That I'm a Jesus freak. Yay, I'm a Jesus freak. I can improve this situation. I ask and I receive.
Yes.
Malachi, ask and you receive. The heavens will pour out the heavens for you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
If you don't, you might want to. I don't make enough money, but I have everything I need. I make more than enough money, and God's going to bless me with more so that I can give more. This is an open hand. If you have an open hand and you're giving, God's continually pouring more into that hand so you can give again and again and again. We got to get out of the thinking that we don't have enough. We're not good enough. We're not wealthy enough. We're not. We're only a little church. No, we're not. We're a big church.
Yes, we are.
With big hearts. And lots of love. What's our word for the year for the church? Acceptance. Exactly. We accept everybody. We need to show everybody that we love them. We need to be that praying church that when people come in, they just feel it. They feel our love that we have for each other. I learn scripture easily. I am supercharged with joy. Can you hear it in my voice? I'm ready for a breakthrough. Are we ready for a breakthrough?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have a breakthrough today. We're going to learn that we need to have the mind of Christ, and we need to live. Every time something negative comes into your mind, you have to flip it and say something positive about it. If you say that I'm ugly today, then you have to say I'm beautiful. In the book, the guy was talking about when his kids were little, he would tell his kids, he would rock them to sleep, and he would say, "You are beautiful, you are beautiful, and you are loved by God, and you are a masterpiece of Christ." And he would tell them that every day when they were little. So he tried something when they got bigger. One day he didn't get to go have night prayers with them, and he tried something. He went into his son, and he started saying exactly what he prayed to the son, and the son repeated it exactly back in his sleep. So he went into his wife, and he said, "Come and listen to this." So he started praying his prayer, "You are beautiful, you are loved by God, you are Christ in Christ Jesus." And of course, the first couple times, the son didn't repeat it, so he was like, "Oh." So he tried it one more time, and exactly word for word, what he had been taught, he repeated in his sleep. That's pure joy, because you know if you're teaching people, speaking words of life to people and praying for people. And I know when our kids were growing up, they repeated exactly what Jody prayed. But they learned that. They learned that because she would pray with them and pray with them and pray with them. And yeah, their words are different now, but they still have that total, they know exactly that they are loved by God and they are beautiful and he loves them because she has taught them that and she has said that. And she talked to Isabella when she was in her belly and prayed for Isabella when she was in her belly. And when Joshua, she would talk to Jessica's belly and she would do that because she knew how to do that. We need to do that to ourselves. We need to talk words of life to ourselves. Because we're not going to get the joy of the Lord if we don't really have the joy of the Lord. And how do we do that? Not talk negative to ourselves. Flip it. Day by day, my marriage is growing stronger. I act consistently with my faith. I am bold. I am lovable. I think about what is good, just, and gracious. I am learning a lot through this experience. Amen to that. Amen. Yeah, I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to myself. You just get to hear some of it. My lifestyle supports my faith. Amen. I surrender myself and my future to God, and I trust him. Amen. In this book, the 4-8 principle, we're going to the back of the scripture, the King James Version. It's based on Paul's teaching. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." How do we meditate on the things that are those things? Write that scripture down and read it every day. You'll get it in your head. It'll play instead of the other crap that we've let into our minds. What's your favorite scripture? "Be still and know I'm God." That's one of my favorite scriptures. So when I get to the point where I'm having a bad day, I should be repeating that scripture and believing. I kind of have an opportunity to get the same job, but get a little different pay or not. And I'm still trying to figure out if I really want it. So I'm praying, "God, do I really want this job?" And it comes into my mind, the person that already has the job is done. They've already said they're done. And they're not a happy person. They're negative all the time. And it's hard to be around them. And I keep thinking I should take that job and I should turn the group into learning about each other and knowing that we're not always going to get along. We're not going to always see eye to eye, but we don't have to take the negative in everything. Still working on it. I haven't got the yes yet, so I'm waiting for God to say yes or no. But it was thinking about this, I'm thinking, speak words of life. Speak joy, speak love, speak happiness, knowing that if I'm speaking the right words, I don't have to take in that junk that she's throwing out. And hopefully she'll hear it and it'll change her mindset. Paul was a zealous person. He wanted to kill Christians in the beginning because he was such a law holder. And then Jesus knocked him off his horse and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" I was blind for the 3 days. Do we need to be blind for 3 days and find out what God really wants for us? Maybe. Maybe we don't. Maybe we just need to open up our ears, open up our eyes. Then he was zealous. He spent how much time did he spend attached to a guard? And he still found joy. Still walked in joy. We need to be like Paul. We need to be happy. How do you say that? How can I be happy when my circumstances suck? How do you say that? Life isn't going the way I want it to. I haven't got everything that I want. God promised me this, and I'm waiting. Waiting for what? Are you hearing him tell you to do something else while you're waiting? Or are you just sitting waiting? We need to look at ourselves, and when we look at ourselves, we need to see what Christ sees and God sees. We need to see our true self and not what people or our families or whatever. Because everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. It's not always the right one, but everybody has one. Karina takes hers wherever she goes. That's funny. She tells the hairdresser lady, "My opinion's over there." She's like, "How is it?" I said, "It's fine." That was hilarious the day she's, I'm like, "What? Oh, I get it. You take me everywhere you go." Our opinion should be what Christ and God says to us. There's a ton of scriptures in here about joy. John 15:10 says, "When you obey my commands, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, my joy will overwhelm other in the same way I loved you." Acts 11:22-24 says, "When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw this evidence of God's blessing. He was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit, strong in the faith, and many people were brought to the Lord." It's easy when you go into a place or you go somewhere and you know people are filled with love. But is it easy to go into a place when not? It should be, because you're always filled with God's love. Romans 15:13 says, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." There it is. If we have hope, we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps us. We can't do it on our own. I know the last time I talked in here, I said, "I want everybody to get their butt off the chairs and do something." And then I said, "God told me it's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit's job." And it's still the Holy Spirit's job. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit's job to fill you with joy. And how do you do that? You listen to God's voice. You read your scriptures and you find all of the joy-filled scriptures that are in there that pertain to you at that time. Here's another one. And we're going to learn about spiritual gifts. Galatians 5:22-23. "But the Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." You can have all of these fruits of the Spirit. The question is, do you want that? Or do we just want to go back to our life and think that we're bad, that we don't like each other and we don't like ourselves and life just sucks? Because it's easy to sit in that, especially when things are hard. It's easier to say, it's never going to happen because I don't see it. Well, why don't you see it? Sometimes I don't see it. I'm like, my phone had a memory the other day. It's been 7 years since we went to Taiwan. And that comment on there said, trying to pack light for this trip, it'll be the best kind of work I get to do, sharing God's love with other people. Have we been back? No. God had us on a journey to go to school. We've been out of school for a year. We're trying to get stuff paid off. There's still a plan, but it's not fast enough for me. I want to go tomorrow. I want to see the light of Christ in other people, like I see it in you guys' faces. And I know life gets us down. But talking about joy and knowing that I can flip my mind information so that I don't have to think the negative all the time, because unfortunately I do. It was like, do I want this job? It's between me and another girl. The other girl doesn't spend a lot of time at church, but work. But, and I can say I'd do a better job. And then I thought, okay, God, that's boasting. I'm reliable, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. And that's not, there's nothing wrong with saying I'm reliable, I'm responsible, I was talking to the lady at work yesterday, and I said, I need to figure out if I need to take another day off so I don't lose any more of my PTO, because I cap out at 234 hours, and I'm at 202. And I'm like, it's because I'm always responsible and I'm always at work. Well, where's the fun in that? I like my job enough to be there. But what's the job that God has for each of us? First, we need to find joy. And we need to keep the joy of the Lord. And we know that he is our strength, because we can't go through life without him. If we did, if we believed that, none of us would be in this room today.
Amen.
None of us. It's been a while since I walked through that door angry and mad and hateful. And I'm thankful that I'm not angry and mad and hateful anymore, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And he has shown me many things, and he's taken us many places, and he has many places to take us if we step out in faith and do it. But we're afraid, because we live in this world that fear is our biggest crutch. Do you believe that? Or is it just me that is fearful sometimes, that doesn't want to do something because I don't know if I can do it? Well, I shouldn't be fearful, because I read my scriptures, and my scripture says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if my faith is like it's supposed to be, then I shouldn't fear anything or anyone. But I do. Unfortunately, I need to flip that. I'm not afraid, because God has my back.
Amen.
I'm going to get all these bills paid, because he's blessed me with working overtime. He's blessed me to be able to do other things. He's blessed me to be down here 3 or 4 days a week helping pastor move stuff forward. He's blessed me with health. He's blessed me with a beautiful wife that takes care of the things that I don't know how to take care of, because it's not my strength, or I just don't want to do it.
Amen.
There's the truth.
Amen.
Sometimes I just don't want to do it. That there's things she doesn't want to do either. That's what makes us so such a great couple, is because we have gifts and talents, and we use them for strengths between each other and other people.
Amen.
But you don't have to have a companion to do that. You have God. God is there. God loves you. He wants you to be joyful, even in the worst of circumstances. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but you should try it, and let's see if it really works. He loves us so much. And if we could wrap our minds around the things that he wants us to do, and the way he wants us to go, nothing would stop us. We stop ourselves. So what you need to know now is you need to stop stopping yourself and let him take care of you.
Amen.
Let him show you the way. Let him teach you through the scriptures what needs to be done. If you need to walk across the room and say something to somebody, walk across the room and say something to somebody. If you need to say hi to somebody on the street, say hi to somebody on the street. Oh, but they don't look right. So, you don't know what their circumstances is? That's the other thing that we need to change our mindset on. We need to, should not be our first thought. Our first thought should be, God loves that person.
Amen.
And I love that person because I am Christ on the earth. Because
right.
He couldn't be there. He can't be there because there was only one of him. That's why he left. And he left the disciples to share his love with other people. They only spent 3 years together. I've been here 10, 12 years. At least almost 12 years. I don't know how long I've been here, but I've been here longer than 10. So, love, people, share, joy. I sat back there where probably Jay's sitting when we first came here. And Karina said, we can leave if you don't like it. We sat outside and waited for people to come in because we were wondering what they would look like. I was afraid. I was afraid to come out because I would have wondered what people would think. How much time did I wait? But God promises I will regain that time in him.
Yes.
And I have. Where's your joy? Where's your joy? Is it in watching TV? Is it in playing on the computer? Is it in looking at Facebook? Pastor talked about Facebook last week. Using your words. Where is it? Is it in all the distractions of the world? Yes, it is. We get watching TV and we see all of the stuff that's going on and all the cops that are getting killed and all the people that are getting killed. It all started because the cops killed the kids or guys. And now it's just a big mess. Or it's always been a big mess, but they're putting it on national TV and on national media and we can just look and watch at it. Does it depress us? Oh, hell yeah. But we get sucked in. You know where we need to be sucked in at, right? Sharing God's love with other people and saying, it's going to be okay because God's got your back. Exactly. Showing up to those God-appointed times. But God, I'm too busy. I have to. How many of us have said, I'm too busy? I have. I'm too busy. No, we're too busy. I'm flipping that. My joy is in helping other people because my God tells me that is what I need to do. My God says, answer the phone. I don't want to answer the phone. Answer the phone. People hate to answer the phone these days. They'd rather text. Guess what? You can't feel emotion through text.
Amen.
Unless you give that angry red face. Right? Really, seriously. I mean, I can type, I love you to my wife, and she knows that I love her, but if I'm talking to somebody else, they might understand that.
Amen.
It's okay. It's absolutely okay to talk to people or have a face-to-face conversation with somebody because it's easier to see emotion in somebody's face than it is on the phone.
Amen.
You can hear it on the phone, but you can't see it. We need to get back to the basics. We need to open our Bibles. We need to read God's word. We need to read about the joy of the Lord. We need to read where God was joyful and where he wasn't joyful. We need to understand that so we don't have to do the same stupid stuff that the people of the Bible did. He gave us that instruction book so we didn't have to make the same mistakes. But we do. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God that forgiveness starts with me. And me forgiving myself first, because how can you forgive anybody else if you haven't forgiven yourself? But I can forgive myself, but only on this one spot. That's not right. You should forgive all of your stuff. He knows you're going to do stuff, dumb stuff every day. Ask for forgiveness and move on, because that's what he wants you to do, because he won't remember it. You'll continue to bring it up, because that's how we think. We need to change our thinking. Back to thinking. Finding joy. How do we find joy? When you look at your child, Jody, do you see the joy in her face or his face? When something good happens to you, do you see the joy in yourself? When somebody dies, we never find joy in that because we're going to miss them. But praise God they get to go dance with Jesus.
Yes.
There's the joy. If you can't find it anywhere else, thank God that you know that that person's going to go dance with Jesus and eventually you'll be able to see them again. Do we trust that God's going to take care of us? Do we trust that God has our back? Do we have the faith that God's going to take care of all things? No. Because we see the world, and the world has, I need to make more money. I need to do this. I need to do this. We don't have to listen to the world. We need to close our ears, or open our ears, close our eyes, and listen to God's voice, because he's always talking, but there's always noise, like the air conditioner. There's always noise. But if you're really quiet, you can hear his voice. And he'll say something clear as day. And what he's saying to you all right now, that he loves you. And you can find joy in every circumstance if you're listening to his voice and finding joy in the things that he is showing you. It's not always easy. If he told us to sell our house tomorrow, would we do it? I would in a minute. I don't know. Karina's not quite there yet. She's one that doesn't like change. So change has to come a little bit slower. And I understand that. I'm the jump off the cliff and then wait and say, am I going to land the right way? She's not. She'll figure it all out first and then go. There's nothing wrong with it. Nope. There's nothing wrong with figuring it all out. Because God has a great plan for all of us.
Amen.
And one of those plans is finding joy. Changing our thinking so that we don't think the bad things that the people of the world, that Satan throws people at us, because they're unhappy, they're going to throw negative things at us. You're not good enough. Bull crap.
Amen.
I am good enough through Christ. He is my Savior, and he loves me, and he loves each and every one of you, and he's created you are created in his image. That's what you should say every day. I am created in God's image, and he doesn't make any junk. And nobody can tell me different. And if they do, then you need to flip it, because you can't think like that.
Amen.
Because he's never said that anything but good things about you. You're his child. You are his favorite. His favorite. Every one of you in here is his favorite.
Amen.
He's no respecter of persons. Every one of you in here is his favorite. I'm his favorite. Yay.
Amen.
Have to remember that. Because it's easy to get sidetracked and forget that the joy of the Lord is my strength, and that whatever is going to happen around me doesn't have to affect me. I don't know how many times that we've been told that we're a calm in a room. Maybe because we don't freak out. Because freaking out's going to change what's going on, except the atmosphere of everybody else freaking out. First thing that we did when we got the call about Karina's brother is pray. The best weapon out there is prayer. Gary said it earlier, the best weapon is prayer. Let's use it. We're learning on Wednesdays, praise, repentance, ask, and yield. What does it spell? Prayer. It's a great weapon, and it's great comfort to us first. As when we're praying, it's not about us. It's about us giving all that crap to God, and God believing and having faith that God's going to take care of it. Here's your list. Go home, type it up, or go home, put it on the board. Put it anywhere you can see it this week. And when those little voices that tell you that you're not good enough, change your mind. And say it out loud 15 times if you need to, or once. Because God has your back. He loves you. And you are his pride and joy. You are his joy. He gave his one and only son for each of us. So we need to find the joy that we have to share that with other people. Don't forget your word for the year. Make sure you keep it front and foremost. And I'm thinking that my hope, maybe my word this next year will be joy. We'll see what God says when I ask him in January or when I start a new word. He loves us. He has great plans for each of us. We need to figure out what those plans are and move forward. That means getting off your chair. Sorry. I love that God has a sense of humor. And he shares it with me too. Will you go with me in prayer? Father God, as we come before you today, we're thankful that we can just talk to you about what's going on in our lives. We can talk to you and ask you to protect the people out there the nations that are hurting, the people that are hurting because somebody made a choice to hurt somebody else. We thank you, Lord, that you heal our minds, that we only hear your voice, and that we can say we have the mind of Christ because we know who we are. We are your children. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity we have to meet together as your children. We're thankful that we're church family. We're thankful, Lord, that you're helping each of us the way you want us to see it. We know, Lord, that we're not always going to see the same, but we know that as you continue to help us move forward and help us learn what joy really means, that it helps us to move forward to the plan that you have for each of our lives. We're thankful, Lord, that we're not complacent. We're not stuck in a rut. We know you don't want us to be stuck in a rut. We're thankful that we can hear your voice when we get quiet. And even when we don't get quiet and you're yelling at us, help us to hear your voice. Because we know, Lord, when you're yelling at us, you're telling us, no, don't do that. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand here and share my passion and the excitement of knowing that you love me and you have great plans for me, just like you have for all of your children in this room and all your children out there in the world. Thank you that you've changed my mind to not think the negative things, but to think the positive things, and everyone in this room. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor and for all the things that he does. Thank you that you've healed him from the cancer that tried to touch his life. Thank you, Lord, for Synergy coming up and for the things that we're going to learn about taking our authority to the world through you, because you've taught us that. Thank you, Lord, for the week we have ahead of us. Thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we just have to trust you, and that you'll take care of us no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.